Support for the Capital Connection comes from United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm David Gustina. Joining us this week is Murad Awada, President and CEO of the New York Immigration Coalition. You can find out more at nyic.org. Obviously, the issue of ICE and that enforcement in New York and around the country has been escalating, and especially in New York in the last couple of weeks. The legislature's back in session. The governor has been talking about ICE and how they've been behaving in New York and what she wants to do to curb some of that behavior. Before we get into all of that, we welcome Murad Awada to the Capital Connection. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, before we get into that serious discussion, tell our audience about yourself a bit, how you came to the Immigration Coalition of New York.
I am a child of immigrants and someone who had to support and help my family navigate our services here in the state, from healthcare to education, to ensuring that my family had a fighting chance to stay in this country. And I grew up organizing around other environmental issues and then quickly realized that my family is just as impacted as every other family. And I wanted to do more to support folks who called this state home. And then that's what led me to the NYC. And almost 13 years later, here we are.
Yeah. And what a place to be at the center of what is dividing America. Now, you had a major press conference this week in Albany to push the legislature into action. And as I said, the governor would seem to be on your side. She said in her State of the State that New York will not allow the use of state resources to assist in federal immigration raids on people who have not committed serious crimes, end quote. So it seems to me you have a powerful ally. Tell us about your relationship with the governor and your plans going forward for the 2026 session.
You know, we applauded the governor's State of the State address, talking about our communities and making sure that all of New York is defending every New Yorker. We have shared values on how we want to defend New Yorkers, but different paths in getting there. We want to pass the New York for All Act, which would completely prohibit state resources being used to collude with immigration enforcement. And, you know, the governor wants to protect, you know, sensitive locations and restrict a certain amount of money going to law enforcement agencies that would prohibit the agency from being able to work with immigration enforcement. And what we're seeing across the state is local police departments are, you know, and local counties are signing on to become 287G partners, which is pretty much deputizing local officials and, you know, becoming federal immigration enforcement agents, which is not their job. If you are, a police officer in Nassau County, your job is not to be, an ICE officer and just be expected to uphold what is your job, the first job, which is public safety, and at the same time undermine that job by telling the very same people who you have been convincing it is safe to go to the police with any issues that they're going to get tricked and trapped in their county or their city. So that's sort of where we are at right now. We want to make sure that no resources go to support no state resources go to support immigration enforcement, because again, that's not what our tax dollars should do. They should be bettering our state, not harming our communities.
He is Murad Awada, President and CEO of the New York Immigration Coalition, on this week's Capital Connection. Murad, you mentioned sensitive locations. Explain that to our listeners. I would assume one of them is courthouses.
Yeah, courthouses are sensitive locations, as well as schools and hospitals. You also have places of faith. So those would all be considered, you know, sensitive locations. And, you know, that is also important. But I think the most important thing that we can do in this moment is not just protect our sensitive locations, but also protect our communities and our state resources by passing the New York for All Act.
How does that impact the issue of the sort of federal immunity that goes along with ICE? I mean, you know, you want to protect sensitive locations, but they're still going into courthouses. They're still trying to get into schools. I see a story today about a five-year-old boy who was, quote, used as bait when they picked him up at the school to draw the parents out of the home. So when a federal agency acts with impunity, with no restrictions, how can the state stop that?
That's a great question. The first way the state can stop that is by making sure our state tax dollars and our resources are not going to support what they're doing. So that's why we have to pass the New York for All Act. Secondly, Senator Myrie has introduced the New York State Civil Rights Act, which would give people, New Yorkers, the right to sue ICE agents if they violate their civil rights. So that is an additional accountability measure that the governor also mentioned in her State of the State, of making sure that when New Yorkers are attacked, that they have a pathway to get recourse.
Well, here's the other part of this that I'm wondering about. Maybe you can help us, Murad. The idea of New York City police, for example, there's been some protesting going on about ICE and what they're doing down in New York City. I saw some video. I don't know if it's real, but it made me think of this. Can't police, whose jurisdiction is New York City, let's say, a New York City police officer, arrest an ICE officer if, you know, they're masked and they're detaining people and they're not really a city law enforcement agency?
Well, you know, I don't think that that is part of a solution here. What we're seeing is Donald Trump enabling and creating these incredibly dangerous conditions where he has created an even more lawless, even more rogue agency than we've ever seen before, who has been violating the law day in and day out. There is an article that was just released saying that the Department of Homeland Security has allowed ICE agents to, you know, ignore the Fourth Amendment of needing a warrant. That's not what our Constitution says. That's not what our democracy is should be pushing forward. This all comes down to, do we want to continue to live in a democracy, or do we want to live in fascism? That's the main question here. And if you want to live in a democracy, the way you do that is by fighting for your democracy. And to do that, you have to step up and make sure that you are doing everything that you can to keep our democracy alive and well. And the way that democracies die is when the people who live in that democracy don't take action and don't actually speak up for what's just. So I would say ensuring that we have a thriving democracy means having these laws like New York for All, the New York State Civil Rights Act, access to representation, because everyone should have a lawyer when they're going in front of an immigration judge. That's all part of this, what makes us a democracy. Even us fighting to create new bills, that's part of a democracy. It's the people asking their elected representatives to deliver on their behalf. That is what a democracy is.
Murad, very eloquent. I agree. And, you know, maybe one of the things that would motivate people and should motivate people is the fact that the people who are dealing with this on the ground, and you know this all too well as the son of Palestinian immigrants, the people that get hurt the most are the children, aren't they?
Yeah. And, you know, we just saw how ICE is using children to lure other family members out of their home. They detained a five-year-old and now have moved that five-year-old to Texas with their father. And they were trying to use the five-year-old to lure out other family members so that they can detain them as well. It's just really horrific. Everything that has been happening for the past exactly 1 year has illustrated that we as a country have allowed way too many horrors to happen, but it's okay because we still have time to fight back and to turn the tide. And I think that in this moment, we have to continue to fight and strengthen our local democracy, our state democracy, that will be able to withstand any federal incursion coming our way.
We're speaking with Murad Awada on this week's Capital Connection. He is the president and CEO of the New York Immigration Coalition. You can find out more at nyic.org. Well, Murad, tell us a little more about the Access to Representation and Build Acts and your goal to see the state invest $175 million in legal services funding.
Yeah, so we are in Albany, and we will be here for, you know, the foreseeable future to ensure that we are fighting for a state that is going to deliver for every single New Yorker. New York for All is going to protect all 19 million New Yorkers. So it's a bill about public safety, and we want to ensure that we're upholding public safety and that we're protecting all New Yorkers. The Access to Representation Act and the Build Act really strengthen and build the ecosystem that we need in this moment to ensure that, you know, when you go to immigration court, it's not like when you go to the criminal justice system where if you can't afford a lawyer, one won't be afforded to you. If you can't afford a lawyer, you're not getting one. And what we've seen is that people with immigration lawyers have a 10 times more likely chance of winning their cases than those who do not. So our goal is to ensure that people who can't afford a lawyer end up in immigration court and need a lawyer are able to have a fighting chance to stay here in the state of New York with their loved ones and in their communities that they've been helping build.
The other thing that gets in the way in a country like the United States is people who speak different languages. You know, you see this in healthcare a lot, where doctors who don't speak another language have a hard time diagnosing a patient. But the same thing is true when you're dealing with immigration, right? You need access to understand the language on all sides.
Yeah, which is why we're also fighting for the Language Access Expansion Act, which would ensure that the state actually takes it upon itself to make sure that every New Yorker is receiving information in the language that they feel most comfortable, and ensuring that when we are having, you know, we're about to have a horrible snowstorm this weekend. And, you know, not too long ago, there was a massive blizzard in Buffalo, and the notification didn't go out in any other language but English. And unfortunately, several people lost their lives because they didn't get they didn't understand what the emergency warning was to stay at home. They went out to get milk and never made it back home. So we should not have these situations where, you know, something as basic as an emergency alert is not going out in multiple languages to people who need to receive information in a different language.
Yeah, that storm really drew that issue close to home. Of course, issue of immigration has always been a political one in this country. And the idea of welcoming people seems to be dependent on where in the world you come from. Do you want to comment on that? In other words, we seem not to worry about immigration coming from certain countries in Western Europe. But when it comes to communities of color, we'll say, there seems to be more of a problem. It seems like hypocrisy to me.
Yeah. You know, I think this is what we've seen is time and again when you have systems like our immigration system where the closeness to whiteness that you are, the easier it is for you to enter the United States, to navigate and receive your different statuses. Even if you look at the distribution of visa quotas, you know, European nations have significantly more than any other. So I think in this moment, what we need to stop doing is actually seeing each other as the other. And all we're trying to all do is live a good life, support our families, and really build a better state for the generations to come. So for us, it really is ensuring that we're moving beyond looking at each other in, you know, a way in which that is not helpful. We all have so much more in common than we don't. So that's why it's important and critical that we continue to push in this moment, not just for these common sense policies like New York for All and access to representation and the Build Act and, you know, expansion of support for, you know, civic engagement across the state, but that we're doing it in a really intentional way to build, again, a New York state that's going to continue to thrive.
Well, help our listeners understand, put a face on this issue. You had impacted individuals at your press conference. Tell us about one or two of them and what their stories are.
You know, we had an individual who was originally from Afghanistan, supported the United States in the war that happened there. And when the government there collapsed, they were sent to the United States and have been trying to build their lives here. Many people who did not adjust from the humanitarian parole are now stuck in this limbo and are in need of support to get help to be able to stay here, because if they were to be sent back, their lives would be immensely harmed, or at the worst, the unfortunateness of it is they may potentially be killed for their support of the United States. So, you know, they spoke about the incredible need of ensuring that local law enforcement aren't colluding with federal immigration enforcement to trick people in getting them detained. And then the same goes for when people are detained, ensuring that they have the resources that they need for, you know, an attorney, and making sure that they're able to get an attorney. So we heard from many speakers. Everyone shared really incredible stories of, you know, their ability to continue to fight forward and think through how they're able to, you know, ensure that they can continue to call New York home. And it's not just, they're not sharing their story simply for themselves. They're sharing it for the millions of other New Yorkers who are in the same position as them.
Yeah. Well, we're talking with Murad Awada. He is the president and CEO of the New York Immigration Coalition. Find out more at nyic.org. Murad, I mean, in the end, this is a human rights, individual rights issue, isn't it?
Yeah. I think, you know, what we're fighting for is justice at the end of the day, right? It is human rights. It is, you know, ensuring our state has the ability to continue to protect all New Yorkers. But at the end of that, what we're still trying to ensure is that justice is able to continue to thrive here. We've seen how, you know, every level of government at the federal level is supposed to be a check and balance on the other. So you have the judiciary, you have Congress, and then you have the executive. And what we're seeing is that all three branches are now pretty much in, the other two branches have pretty much acquiesced to the president, who is also trying to incredibly change the way in which this country looks, feels, and operates. With H.R. 1, which he strongly pushed to ensure gets passed, we saw the largest wealth transfer in U.S. history, which is going to create debt for not just my kids, but my kids' kids and their grandkids in the United States, where we're seeing trillions of dollars being taken away from programs like healthcare, SNAP, and other critical social safety net programs, and then limiting the remainder of the program to then go and give that money for tax breaks. So we're in this interesting place where people have been dealing with the affordability crisis and the housing crisis for so many years, and we're literally at a boiling point. And the federal government, instead of stepping up to help, stepped up to make things worse, not just with H.R. 1, but with the tariffs, which the consumer is then having to cover. So all this is to say is that a lot of folks are feeling this immense pressure of life. And instead of our federal government providing avenues for relief, they're making it even harder. And they're doing their campaign and their attacks on immigrants as a way to distract people from seeing the larger picture of what they are actually doing.
So, yeah, and it really turns, doesn't it turn people off to Washington? I mean, let's face it. This is a problem that Democrats and Republicans and the Congress and the executive, they could all be working together to deal with the immigration issue. There are issues. There needs to be reform. We need to allow people who are seeking asylum to come into the country. We need people who are working on their citizenship through the courts to be left alone. And we need people who aren't here in the country properly or legally to be deported or what needs to be done in that regard. And I think all people would like to see this dealt with, but politicians in Washington continue to use it as a political football.
Yeah. So this is, you know, what we believe in is a just and fair system, one that's equitable. And we have to start with the people who've been in this country and have not been able to adjust their status or be able to get status. So we need to make sure that we provide a pathway for residency for individuals who've called this country home. Secondly, is ensuring that we are building out the system where we actually legitimately have a fair and equitable system. Like what we're seeing right now in New York State, we've had 17 judges fired by the Trump administration in immigration court because they're not following his instructions to them. Like, how is that fair or just? Like, judges are supposed to be independent adjudicators. That makes absolutely no sense. So we want to ensure that there are multiple pathways for people to enter the country so they don't have to take the dangerous journey through the southern or the northern border. So for us, it really is about, you know, moving this forward in the most humane way possible. But, you know, again, we all are constantly told that the reason why you can't have something is because someone else is having it, or that, you know, in need of help, or that the villain, I'm doing air quotes here, is the other, the new arrival, when the new arrival has nothing to do with it. So it's very easy to those in power to point the finger at other communities to say they are the problem, when the actual problem is the person who's saying that, setting up these instances. And in this moment, we're seeing the gap of wealth incredibly expand. So we're seeing people like billionaires get billions more, and then the working class get poorer and poorer by the day. So this isn't immigrant versus the world. This is all of the working people against greedy fascists.
Well, and then you have the president of the United States calling out Somalians and saying they need to get out of our country. We don't want you here. I mean, the climate of fear around the nation right now has a huge impact, right? I mean, if it was a census year, people would be hiding in their homes. We wouldn't get an accurate count.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think what you keep hearing is that the president and his administration keep looking for distractions to the Epstein files or to the mishandling of our foreign relations or his, you know, administration collapsing. There's enough issue, enough things and excuses that are out there, but I also think that this is part and parcel and it should not be the way of life moving forward.
Well, we're running out of time real quickly. I have one more question for you. Where are the New York Republicans? I don't think I see a Republican on this list that was at your press conference. It looks like all Democrats. Are the Republicans just no-shows? Have you reached out to them? Are there any of them that support what you're doing?
Well, we had mostly our bill sponsors who were there and then other electeds who came to support. And we welcome everyone to come stand with us to fight for a better New York and a future that includes all of us and ensuring that we move the state forward. So anyone who's interested in doing that, they can reach out to us and we'd be happy to, you know, move forward.
Well, it's going to be a very interesting session. You have a lot of goals. We'll see where it all heads to. Whether we like it or not, we are out of time. Our guest has been Murad Awada, President and CEO of the New York Immigration Coalition. You can find out more at nyic.org. Murad, I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us on the Capital Connection this week. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. You can listen to The Capital Connection anytime at wamcpodcast.org or anywhere you get your podcast. And join us again next week at this same time for another political conversation. For The Capital Connection, I'm David Giustina.
Support for the Capital Connection comes from United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.